Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, Christmas and Easter is always an interesting time for a pastor, because we have all these people who come to church and visit us, and we are so glad, and many of our members come back, and we have this full crowd, and guess what? Every year we have the same story, right? We continue to tell the same story, and it's over and over again, and every pastor tries to think of what the good news is. I remember the first sermon I ever gave on Easter. It was quite interesting because it was different. I was a child, I was a junior in high school, and I was sitting there waiting for the gospel reading to happen, and the child before me gets up, or teen, reads the gospel passage. I look at my sermon, and I have a different gospel passage. The pastor was nice enough, or mistakenly gave me the gospel for next week, which happens to be Doubting Thomas, if you didn't know. That's a hard thing to proclaim on Easter. But, you know, as I'm studying it, it is a truth that we experience. There's a lot of truth to it. That doubting is a lot about what Easter is about. Think of it. The women are going down in this Luke passage. There's quite a few of them, and it's kind of like how they go to the bathroom in groups. They must have gone to bury the dead in groups. And they're expecting that this is how things are going to be. They've got all the things as any woman would to bury the dead. They get there, and they are shocked that the tomb is opened. A couple of them walk in, and what is it? They see two things, two what look like people that obviously shock them because they're not normal people. In the Luke gospel, the women fall down on their face and say, "I'm not worthy." That is quite a doubting experience, isn't it? They weren't expecting anything. And they say, "Where have you put them?" And guess what? They say, "Remember Christ said that he would die and in 3 days rise again." And guess what? It hits them over the head. Now, this is interesting because we know in Scripture, Jesus at least told them three times. You'd think they would have gotten it before that, but it was kind of like teaching a teenager something. You've got to keep telling them it over and over again, right? And so you continue to... So you'd think that maybe the women who were there and are better listeners than men we know would have gotten it the first time. But then the women get it. And what do? They go running and they run to the disciples. And Peter, who is the beloved disciple, they say, "Christ is risen." And Peter says, "No, he isn't." And so they sit there and they have to plead with Peter to go. And guess what? Peter gets there and finally is changed. This doubting is interesting. This doubting is something that humanity has always had. It is ingrained in us, I believe, that we have trouble fully believing people or governments or any institution that promises us something or person who promises something. Why? Because we've all experienced heartbreak. We've all been disappointed. We've all been hurt, right? And so it doesn't take us too long that we stop trusting it fully. We might accept it, but we're not ready to go full in. We like to hold things a little bit back. And this is what Easter is about. Easter is not about us being saved. In theological parlance, that is atonement. Atonement theory is how humanity is saved from sins. That happens on Good Friday. The blood of Christ is what comes over us, is the Lamb of God, as we call it. And guess what? That saves us. We are saved not by ourselves, but by God's loving hands that were pierced on the cross. But Easter is what we celebrate when we want to know that it's truth. That the truth comes to rest, that what Jesus said was true is true and will always be true, and we can take that to the bank. That unlike the relationships and institutions and other things we put trust in and have it worked out, God gives us this notation. God says, I want you to live a life on this world, not in fear about what you've done wrong. I don't want you to live a life in this world thinking that I don't like you or that I'm looking there to strike you down. God says, I don't want you to think that our relationship actually has anything to do with how good you are. Because I've experienced how good you are and you fail. But what I want you to know is that those promises I made to you, to each one of us individually, you can hold on to, you can hang your lives on to, you can trust infinitely that it will be true. That we believe that Easter is putting the exclamation, he is risen. It's not a question mark. We come into the morning thinking it's a question mark. We wonder if, is it really happening? Or can we trust in it? And God's answer, which has always been true, is yes. Now that doesn't take away the question of, can we doubt? We as humans doubt even past the first time we hear Easter resurrection story. Some of you probably still have the question, is God really what he promises to be? And you know what? God's not going to turn away from you for that. He's going to say, I still am going to reveal to you over and over again. He did that to the disciples. We're talking about disciples that spent their life with him, ate with him, walked with him many miles. And guess what? Even on Easter, even after Peter comes running into the tomb, and even after Jesus speaks to Peter and the women, they still question. They still say, what is it? And the good news is, we know that Christ shows up for 50 more days, over and over again. Revealing himself to them, saying, you know, those promises that you remembered, they're still true. They're still valid. Trust in me. And what do we see after that? We see men and women who, when Jesus seemed to need him most, guess what? Left. When they could have defended him with words and deeds, they fled. When you would think that they would be there at least to take the body and do it, they weren't on the ball either. But after time, and even after quite a bit of doubt, God changed those people. And he changed them very differently, radically. And this change was that no longer did they have to fear about their life, their possessions, their things that they were doing, because you know what? God said, follow me and I will take care of you. And out of those 12 disciples, Judas commits suicide, but the other 10, except for John, die a martyr's death. Proclaiming the gospel. Why? Because when we finally experience Christ, when he comes in and hits us over the head enough times, and maybe that's why we need to do it every single Easter and hear the story over and again, at some point, we'll get it. We'll cherish it. And no longer will we fear. No longer will we doubt God. No longer will we question, does he love us? No longer will we have the scare of what's next. For God comes to us and says, "Fear not, I am here. I have risen from the dead. If dead is the worst thing that can happen, I've conquered it. Now, follow me and proclaim the good news. Amen."